Blog Talk Radio.
Mama told me, yeah, like Paisley. Mama told me, yeah, come on. My mama told me, one day I'ma grow up big and I'ma be a king. And my papa told me, it's okay to stay where shit hurts. Don't forget your dreams, cause they'll get you through it. So-called life, they call living, but I call it strange. And I bet I'll do it, cause I'm on my way. It's strong enough that I can shake the train. Hey, Mr. Sunshine, Mr. Rainstorm, meet me in the conference room. We need to brainstorm, need some middle ground, need an even keel. But you reward, pick a side, give me fever chills. Take a boat like my flu shot broke. I need to give him things to keep me out of that moat. My head above water, thoughts of those lost this week. All the tragedies stay on repeat like we can't shake shit. I can't speak on it, fist to the sky, but I can't beat on it. Drinking my cup, so I'm gonna sip on them. Cam Newton probably pissed, you can't dip on them. All these levels of these relative problems and benevolence is elegant for those who can solve them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is another episode of the Forbidden Fruit Radio Show podcast. And we have a treat for you today. We have a few guests coming in on the show. And today's topic, I've been waiting to do this for a while. This topic is about education. And we're going to cover different aspects of education, do you homeschool your kids? We're going to ask the question about college. Is college too expensive? Is college even worth it? And we're just going to just have some fun with that because there's so much to talk about on this subject, and there's so many options for people to do when they get out of high school. You don't have to go to college. If you don't want to, there's so many options out there because back in the day, they said that, okay, if you want to be successful, you want to have a good life, then you have to go to college. You have to get a four-year degree. And I don't think those things are valid, totally valid anymore, because the things that you go to college for and come out of college to get are no longer stable and viable anymore. Because remember the days, well, you probably don't unless you're like over maybe 60 or 70, that you go to work for a company and you retire, you get a gold watch. Those days are gone, long gone. So that's what we're going to talk about. Let's take a break, and we'll come back, and we're going to start the show. All right? Got to go find my co-host. So let's do this. Let's run a commercial and come back. Thanks.
Of all the ways that we can fly, of all the highways to the sky, of all
flown Eastern than any other airline in the free world. If you've helped make us America's favorite way to fly, we thank you. If you haven't flown Eastern recently, give us a try. We'll show you we really do earn our wings.
Hello.
Every day.
Hey, we're back. Well, I was back. Now this we now. It's two of us now. I think she just got back from her flight off of Eastern Airlines. How was your flight?
Boy, it was a doozy. I had a hard time finding it.
You must have flown Eastern. Oh, my goodness, I didn't know. I was here by myself initially, and now I guess your flight just got in. So I hope they treated you well on your flight. Thanks for joining us, Tasha.
Thank you for having me, Ken.
Welcome to the Forbidden Fruit Radio Show podcast, another exciting episode of whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever goes on the show, you just never know. And I hope people are listening and talking about the show. And I don't know what it's like in your area, but here in Atlanta, Hotlanta. It's Snowlanta right now. And we have got some snow going on. And yeah, and I think people
sounds are chilling.
It is. Yeah, literally it's chilling. Yeah, exactly. And this is like reminds me of Snow Jam 82. When normally when it snows in Atlanta, it snows at night. You wake up in the morning, you see snow. It snowed in the daytime while people were at work, so people are probably still trying to get home. And so I went on, came on in, even though I have a four-wheel drive, but I had some work done on it, so they had to take the transfer case out or whatever, and now it's only a two-wheel drive. So it's like, you know, it no longer has superpowers anymore.
Struggling a little bit.
Yeah, you know, like, you know, it's, everybody, if they see you have a four-wheel drive, they expect that you can do, you know, miraculous things in the snow. And it looks like that on the outside, but my car only has, like, two-wheel drive. So it's like, you know, hey, can you do this? Hey. So what happened was, you know, you have to start explaining yourself. That's like Superman losing his powers in one of those movies. He's still walking around with his cape, and people want him to bend some steel. Hey, what happened was?
It looks like I'm going to be in timeout on this one for a little bit.
Exactly. So riding around with a super vehicle with no superpowers.
Some people will probably be like, and they call you Superman because...
Yeah, remember the movie where Superman, he gave up his powers to marry Lois Lane? You might not remember that, but he did. He came back from the house of glass and stone, and he came back and said, I'm going to give all my powers to marry Lois Lane. And he did that. He came back and he got in a fight and got whooped.
Just his luck.
So he hit him in the face and his nose started bleeding. He's like, what is this, blood? So,
What is this juice right now? That's coming from my face.
Yeah, what is this?
Spilling from my nose.
It's oozing out of my body. Somebody punk Superman. So this is the Forbidden Fruit Radio Show podcast. So let me go with some information in case you guys want to call in because we got a full show today. Of course, this is the Forbidden Fruit Radio Show. And you can find us on www.blogtalkradio.com/The Forbidden Fruit. We're also on Facebook. That's www.facebook.com/The Forbidden Fruit Radio Show. And please email us. We don't get enough emails, so please, we're lonely. We need email. Please tell us what you think of the show. If you don't like the show, you love the show, whatever, please, email address is applebrain@live.com, and that's applebrain at live.com. Also, we're on Twitter, and that's at TFF Radio Show. And for tonight, please call in with your comments, your questions, or whatever. The number is 347-202-0492. And also, don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes. And so, Tasha.
Ken. So I heard we're talking about education today.
Education. Not religious today, just education, because people think, okay, we're an atheist show. I had one person... on my Facebook page said, I want to support you, but I didn't know your show was for atheists. I said, well, it's not really for atheists. I mean, we're a free-thinking show for free thought with a couple of atheists running behind the wheel, but I mean, we talk about a lot of stuff, you know, So education.
Yeah.
And we're going to start off like we're talking and discussing homeschooling. And And we're going to end up into the college area, and we have a guest, special guest coming on the show who actually has an alternative solution to college. The four
really?
Year, yeah, you know, what you can do, there's a lot of things you can do. So he has like one, he works for an organization that provides training, and so we're going to talk with him probably at the second, third of the hour, probably like, you know, around, let's see, maybe 20 minutes from there or so.
Okay.
Depending on stuff to talk about. So, yeah. So
I didn't know that there was an alternative to college. So this should be really interesting.
Yeah, they you know, the people, your parents and your grandparents will have you to believe that the only way out is college, which is a good choice. It's just that, is it worth it? So we're going to discuss that. But I have a few people that I know that teach their own kids, and I'm hoping that they would call in. I think even you at some point considered that.
I considered that before my kids even started school. Like me and my ex-husband had touched on that subject of homeschooling because, for one, I live in Texas. I'm not from Texas, and so I wasn't very familiar with the type of curriculum that they teach in Texas. And so, not that I didn't trust the education system, but me personally, as far as public school is concerned, I really, I'm not in favor of public school, especially with all the bad rap that's getting in the news with the school shootings and the teachers. I mean, like, I feel like the teachers are getting worse. Every time you turn around, you're hearing something is going on with a teacher putting their hand on the student, or the teachers are sleeping with students, and all types of miscellaneous.
School shootings. Now, if you start having those problems at home school, you have another problem.
I'm going to need you to call on Jesus.
There's something else going on.
Those types of things should not be happening at homeschool. But I think the thing – oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
No, I think the thing I question, because I question everything. That's just – I mean, to me, I think everybody should question everything. They shouldn't just go along with the crowd. But the thing that I question is this. Now, a lot of people who go that route of homeschooling, they hear a lot of flack from parents who put their kids in school and whatnot, but they hear a lot of flack in terms of, well, you know, how are you able to teach? You don't have a teaching degree.
Right.
And me personally, I'm like, well, we spent 12 years.
Exactly.
And then some of us who went, you know, to college, we spent 12 years of our life in school being taught. So how is it that we are not capable? How are we not fully equipped and capable of teaching our own children?
Unless you're teaching a fifth grader. Now that's show. I don't know what happened in fifth grade.
I know. I mean, I must have been asleep during fifth grade, because some of them questions, I'm looking like, this is not fifth grade material, but. No, but I've always wondered that, you know, and the thing that drew me to, besides the crap that goes on in public schooling, that drew me to consider homeschooling is the fact that I wouldn't have to worry about my children ever being bullied.
Right.
And that's sort of like a big thing now, bullying, which I don't understand, because back in the day, kids fought in school wasn't a big issue.
No.
And now they make it like, now kids bringing guns and stuff to school. But you know, the bullying aspect of it, and the fact that I wouldn't have, you know, like, I know my child's teaching style, and a teacher with a classroom full of children piled up, you know, they can't cater to every child's teaching style or learning style. And mm-hmm. a lot of kids end up falling under the cracks and labeled as slow and putting these different classes and you know, it's a mess. So I'm like, everybody learns differently at their own pace. And I don't think one thing should fit a whole.
Right. One size fits all. And who else knows your kids better than you, you know?
Exactly. I mean, we spent, the first 3 or 4 years teaching them. So by the time they get to school, some of them already know how to write their name. My daughter knew all her colors. She knew her body parts. You know, how am I not a better teacher than some of these teachers that are working in the school system?
Right, right. And you start getting into a big issue when the teachers start teaching body parts on your children. Whole nother show.
I did that for my personal reasons, you know, because I was a stay-at-home mom. Not every mother is able to do that, but I was granted the ability to be able to stay at home and raise my kids for the most part and not have them sit up in daycare. And I needed my children to be able to speak to me and tell me if someone has harmed them in some type of way or someone touched them in some type of way. So I think it's very important that in the early years before they hit school, that you should teach your kids their body parts and not be ashamed, you know.
Right.
Teach your kids parts of their body so that when something does happen or a babysitter or anything, you know, something happens, then they'll be able to tell you and express to you what's wrong or what happened, you know. And that was my frame of mind, like, okay, you know, I got two girls and they need to know their body parts in case, hey, something happens and, you know, they're at a babysitter's or a daycare, they need to be able to feel comfortable. Because I think a lot of parents don't feel comfortable talking to their kids in a certain type of way and, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I mean, you're exactly
right.
No, that's fine. I mean, you're exactly right. I mean, I'm looking at the statistics for homeschooling. It's like 2.9%, about 1.5 million or so people. Kids maybe are being homeschooled. And as a friend of mine in California, I didn't know that it was so structured that you have to actually sign in online and you have to have so much study time during the day and then you sign out. Otherwise, you don't. They come get you. You know, it's not like it's the honor system where you – I got this covered. I'm gonna teach my kid, and you're at home smoking cigarettes and watching, you know, soap operas all day, and your kid is just playing games. You know, and now you ask, they take the test, and you ask your kid what is 4 plus 4, and 4 plus 4 equals apple. It was like, God, your child is dumb. It was like
homeschool. Maybe he was just at home. There was no schooling involved. Just straight home.
Right. Wow.
All home and no school.
That's right. All home and no school. Oh boy, we have another Texan. Homeschool on the line. Let me bring her up. You know her. You've met her before. You guys have so much in common. Jonna, welcome to the Forbidden Fruit Radio Show podcast. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Hello.
I'm doing great.
Hey. I remember you. Yeah. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Oh, this is so
doing
nice.
Doing well. Thank you.
All right, everybody a hug. Everybody get a hug.
Yes.
We have two mothers on the phone, and they actually both live in the same state. Probably only about maybe an hour and a half away, maybe two, I don't know.
Oh, really?
Copper's Cove to Dallas. I don't know what the distance on that is, but
it's some time away. It's some time away. It's not an easy drive.
It's not an easy drive either. You know, it's more than, probably more than Moses had to walk. You know, to get to those tablets. Of course, when they did the 40 years, I mean, that was a long. I don't know if he was walking around in a circle or you getting somewhere. I don't know. 40 years, you can walk a long way in 40 years. Anyway, that's not the show today. today is education. So, what is your views on homeschooling, Miss Jana of Texas?
You know, I have interesting views, as always.
Of course you do.
I did a lot of research. I know the last show you did, we were talking about topics and vaccinations, and I opted not to vaccinate my son. And then it spawned just through my personal life and the friends that I have to do unschooling. So
unschooling
is a little bit different.
That sounds
unschooling.
Are you taking away knowledge? Are you like, okay.
You're taking away the bureaucracy of school.
Okay.
So basically, kids learn at a 96% faster rate when they show interest. So long and short, my son is half Hispanic, and he hears me speak in Spanish, and he sat down probably for about a week, and he was like, okay, Mom, like, what are you speaking? So we start talking about Spanish, and then we go into history, and then I start speaking Spanish to him, and before I know it, my 3-year-old is speaking Spanish. Just as fluent as I do.
Wow.
So the concept of it is when they show interest, you give them all the knowledge. And yes, this requires more input and being present as a parent. And, you know, we get so caught up in our lives, but, you know, shifting your focus to when they're interested to give them all the resources available. And what they've had is not too long ago, they had an 18-year-old that got accepted to Harvard Med and scored one of the highest on the aptitude test because when he became interested, it spawned so much more because they actually want to learn versus having it shoved down their throat. And that's what unschooling is about. And that's what I do with my son. You know, I don't know if y'all know, but I train in mixed martial arts. So I do Muay Thai. And part of my training is that I learned Thai.
Wow. Can you break a board? Can you break a board?
We don't break boards. We break bones. No, I'm teasing. It's all self-defense. I mean, unless we're fighting. But, I speak Thai. That's part of, like, doing Southern-style traditional Muay Thai is that we learn Thai. And so my son can count in Thai. He can speak English and Spanish. I can actually call him over here in a little bit and ask him what the word of the day is. Right now, his word is inquisitive. Yesterday, it was enjoyable. And just he's 4, but he's got a vocabulary and can carry on a conversation better than most adults just because he's wanting to learn, and I just keep feeding it and just feeding it.
Wow. Does he want to host a show right now?
He probably would, and he would tell you all about how you're doing it wrong. No. No. So, but I think with this regular school, you know, it's a very cut-and-dry curriculum. I read a deal the other day that they had, it was about sex education, and some of the language that they were using, I was like, I think one that, you know, kind of resonated with me, I was like, teaching a 6th grader about anal sex, like that. I was
like, that's a little advanced.
That's a little ahead of the curve. And I was like, oh, my gosh. But the report of it was talking about that was approved curriculum. And I'm like going, oh, my gosh. You know, when you start teaching your kids to appreciate themselves, that's right. And then they wonder why the pregnancy rate has shot up. You know, but I think it has to do with being present and really teaching your kids. And, you know, motivation comes from within. It's not – I can't motivate him. I can monetarily motivate him or, hey, I'll give you some candy or, you know, externally. But 99% of the time, motivation has to come from within. I mean, even as adults, we experience that. Absolutely.
Place,
so when you give them the tools to succeed and to thrive and teach them how to be entrepreneurs and don't force it, but let it happen naturally and organically – it's absolutely amazing. And that's my perspective.
That's a good perspective.
Mm. Yeah, it's like taking a flower and watering it and watching it grow.
Right, when it takes an interest in sun.
Yeah. But the downside of this, just to forewarn anybody, there's going to be days and times that he doesn't feel like doing anything. He wants to play video games.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine because, you know, then I have to trust. I have to trust that he's going to get enough of those video games, just like, you know, when we eat a ton of sugar and finally our body's like, okay, enough.
Yeah.
The same way. Self-discipline has to come from within. It can't be taught.
And you know and oftentimes as adults, we forget that children are just like little people. So not every day they're going to have a straight happy mood all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I get notes home from my oldest daughter. She's in first grade. She's six. And her teachers always tell me, well, she didn't feel like doing this today, so she just didn't do it. And I'm like, I know she gets into those modes, you know, where she don't want to, you know, do something or, you know, or she's a little upset, so she'll just come back to that later. But school is such, it's so rigid and strict. That,
absolutely.
You know, they force them to do things even when they don't feel like doing them. I'm not saying that, you know, as adults we don't, you know, we don't have that option, but a lot of times we do. We're like, okay, well, you know, I'm going to come back to this problem later when I'm able to deal with it. And for kids in school, they don't allow them that.
Oh, absolutely. And, I mean, when you think about it, you know, I know we kind of touched on it last time we talked, but as a whole, it's teaching them to be workers. Sit down, shut up, do this, memorize this, memorize that.
And
that's not the case. Yeah, and don't have a voice, and don't speak up. And, you know, if you don't understand, don't question it. This is just the way it is. It's accepted. Versus teaching and fostering how to be entrepreneurs. I think that's a great thing with homeschooling or doing unschooling. Just there's a lot of avenues out there to create and foster more well-balanced kids.
Exactly. I think that may foster them in a different direction as opposed to traditional direction when they go to school, they come out of high school, okay, get your four-year job, four-year college degree, go get your job, work for a company, try to retire, get to go watch. And
go ahead and pay into Social Security. That's not going to be there when you get there.
Ahead
and, you know, pay $300,000 worth of school loans off that aren't going to do that bit of good. You know, it might give them book knowledge, but it doesn't give them practical knowledge.
Yeah, they need to be able to think and solve problems, not just be a cog in a system. And, you know, we're going to train you like a little chimp, and you do this repetitively, and no critical thinking on your own.
Yeah. Because, I mean, we're going to have problems that needs to be solved for the rest of our lives, and we're not teaching our children to be good problem solvers.
Right.
No.
Just follow the leader.
Yeah.
And then the leader will tell you what to do.
Right.
I'm not
just
the follow
sheep.
The leader type at all.
Amen to that.
I have a problem. I have a real problem with that.
Yeah.
You're
it's
rebel.
Okay. I learned very quickly. I was not a follower.
Rebel
by all
you.
Means. I know, right?
Good thing.
Yes,
yeah,
is.
But now look where I'm at. I'm grateful.
Yeah. And
you
that's
know, and,
what...
and
Go ahead.
Oh, and just teaching our kids that it's okay to say no and challenging. You know, Albert Einstein or Benjamin Franklin hadn't said, no, I'm going to challenge this because it doesn't make sense or it doesn't line up, you know.
Right, I'm going to fly this kite. I don't care if it's raining and lightning. I'm going to fly.
That's right. Even if it was an accident, you know.
Yeah, all right.
That's true.
Some of the best inventions is by accident. Just stepping
absolutely.
Out the norm and doing something that's out of the ordinary.
Exactly.
Yeah, and people laughed, but now look.
Was a mistake. Styrofoam was a mistake. You know, it was an accident. So it came out to be worth millions to the person, to the corporation, whatever. But yeah, you need deep minds out there, and that's what people. That's how the world moves forward. It's not by people who are working. Just okay, I'm following instructions. I'm gonna do it the same way you say do it. But you have to be innovative. And companies, you would think they would want innovators, but no, they want, hey, this is the way we've been doing it for the last 100 years. We're going to continue doing it this way, and you fall in line, and this is what you do. And that's what some companies have gotten lost because they had no vision. They had no thinkers, no critical thinkers out there. Like, you know,
yeah.
Kmart was around a long time before Walmart was. But, you know, where's Kmart today? You know, compared to Walmart, you know, it's a matter of thinking outside the box.
Yeah, wow. And you know what, just like what Jonna was saying, we need to start raising our children to be entrepreneurs because it doesn't benefit anybody to be a worker bee. It's not benefiting anybody right now to be out there working so many years and you don't get anything for it. And on top of that, you don't have anything to pass down to the next generation. Because I was thinking that today, as a matter of fact, I was like, man, I want to create something that I can pass down to my kids and teach them. You know, like, you know, we're living in a generation where it's kind of just like a microwave type generation right now. You know, I'm just worried about right now and not really thinking about the future. And, you know, I want to leave something for my kids. So
yeah, you
want to
be that.
They can leave something for their kids and so on and so on.
Right.
I don't want to, you know, teach them, hey, you know, if you go to school and you do real good in school, then you can congratulate yourself with 4 more years of school and have some type of job.
and a lot of debt.
Yeah,
and a lot of debt. And maybe you'll get a job in your field, just if you're lucky. If you cross your fingers and all the stars line up together, maybe you'll get a job in your field that you're studying. You know,
even if that job, by the time you get out of school, that job is no longer, you know, that job is obsolete something like that.
No longer economically viable. It's like, okay, I got me a job in business administration. It took me 4 years. Oh, okay, why does it take 4 years to be proficient at any profession? Basically, unless you're something technical like, you know, an engineer or a doctor or a lawyer, and maybe not even a lawyer. I mean, most times, you know, people go to law school, they're, if you're a lawyer, you're a judge, your clerk is doing a lot of the legwork, a lot of the researching. But for the most part,
ironically, in the state of Texas, you don't have to go to law school to become a lawyer. You just have
to
pass the bar.
In Texas, aren't they?
Really?
Yes. If you can pass the bar, you can become a lawyer. You don't have to go the 4 years.
That's the way it should be. That's the way it should be.
I'm about to be a lawyer.
Yes.
Starting tomorrow.
The bar ain't no joke, though. The bar ain't no joke, what I heard. It ain't no joke. It ain't like taking a driver's test. But if you could, yeah, that'd be great. I mean,
that's interesting.
No,
I didn't know that.
You know, because that's the way it should be. I mean, because you have people that went to law school who are still trying to pass the bar.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Until you pass the bar, I don't think you're considered an attorney. I don't think you can operate. You can't get a license in that particular state, I don't think.
Correct. I mean, you have to pass the bar to be a practicing attorney. And then, obviously, if you misrepresent yourself and say you're an attorney, you're not, then there's repercussions. But just the fact that giving people the opportunity to go in and saying, you know, I'm going to do this at my own pace.
Damn.
And then
how come those two professions are both practicing? I mean, you come out as a doctor, you're practicing. You come out as an attorney, you're practicing. I mean,
I don't practice.
I'm very good. I don't have to practice. We practice.
I'm really good at what I do, and I don't practice. I just do. It's what society says that we have to do. You know, we have to keep doing and keep doing because we're not good enough.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then it goes back to fortifying who you are as a child, and back to education. And in school, you're taught that you're never good enough. We're going to test you because I don't think you're good enough. You're not good enough. You're not good enough. We're going to go ahead and work on that self-worth because you're not good enough.
And you want to be be a doctor to work on you. You want the doctor to be good enough. You know,
right.
I don't want you to be practicing on me. Get it straight first.
That's right.
And then come see me. You know, wait till you get it all
like,
straight.
Yeah, well, when you're done practicing, then, then you can work on me.
Yeah, right. But notice how many doctors say, you know, come to my practice. And,
yes.
You know, I'm all for chiropractic, and that's what they teach them. My brother's a chiropractor. Josh, what do you call your business?
Yeah.
A practice. Well, Josh, how long are you going to practice?
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not practicing. Well, then why do you call it a practice?
I've been practicing for 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
And see, those jobs, you need time to study and you need time to be in school about it. But as far as any, like business administration or liberal arts or whatever, a lot of these jobs, these things in school that you study for to get paid for, they give you so much fluff. You know, why do I need archery for my business administration degree? I mean, is it dangerous to be a business administration major? Well, I got archery.
That's right. There's a lot of paper flying at you.
You know, well, why do I need bowling? Why do I need golf? Why do I got to buy that from you? They sell you all these little things to fluff it up. We're going to stretch this 4 years. We're going to give you 4 years, and you'll have your stuff that you're majoring, which you should just jump into. All these electives and stuff you have to take that they sell you. It's like, hey, we got them here. Let's go ahead and sell them all this stuff, all this junk. Uh-huh. All this stuff is sitting on the shelf we can't get rid of, so we're gonna unload it on them. We got all these archery classes just sitting on the shelf gathering dust. You know, we got all these bowling classes and all these classes just gathering dust, so let's just load them on people and make them take it. You know, that's pretty much it. So what is Thomas doing? Is Thomas, what is this? Does he want to come on the show? Is he and tell us how his day was?
Oh, hold on a second.
In English now, in English.
He said in English.
English.
Can you say hi?
For us, Thomas. Us not Spanish or whatever language. He probably speaks like six languages.
Can you say hi to Kenny?
No.
Can you say hi?
No.
No? Why not?
I thought he would say no.
Hey, I have a question.
What?
What's your word of the day?
And
what does inquisitive mean?
Enjoyable.
What's enjoyable mean?
Mm-hmm.
How old are you, Thomas?
I'm 5 and 4.
5 and 4. Are you going to be 5 or are you 4? Going on 5.
I'm 4 and 5.
Okay.
He's 4 and 5. Add them together. He's 9.
Okay, I'm just kidding. I'm 4.
Okay.
Is he more than one person?
Sounds
like more than one kid. He's also doing voices.
Do you want to ask Kenny any questions?
Does he have a boy?
No. He doesn't have any kids.
Okay.
Do you have any kids?
No. Does he have any kids? Ask him, does he have any kids?
Do you have any kids?
That you know of.
That he knows of.
Okay. What?
That's about all you're going to get. You took off.
That's all I'm going to get. My goodness. Okay. He had a short show.
Yeah. He likes to show out every now and then.
So who is someone else? Is someone else there with him?
No.
Is he back?
He
sounds like more than one kid.
No, he's just wiry.
So I don't know if you know this. There's another young lady that's living with me.
Oh.
And she's 17. And I have legal guardianship of her. And so she just got home today. She's been gone for 2 weeks. And just a minute, baby.
How old is she?
And so 18? He's kind of 17.
Okay, okay, okay. Legal guardian.
I've had her since she was 16. No, I've had her since she was 16.
Okay, okay. I did not know this. Where have you been keeping this young lady?
You know, and I would say in the basement or something like that, but then that might get misconstrued. So
in the basement, John has own sweatshop going down there.
Mm-hmm, I do.
She has a little sweatshop. You didn't know that, Tasha. She has own sweatshop. She works for Nike.
Oh no.
She's pumping out Air Jordans.
She does. She stitches them by hand. Puts the logo in reverse so nobody knows.
That's what she decided to do before high school graduation. She has a career. That's already
right.
Out. Sweatshop. John is the sweatshop runner.
Yeah, and,
okay.
Amazing is that, you know, she was in the public school system, and then she's opted to get her GED. But, I mean, from my perspective, I see her differently. But I see how much she has come into her own.
Labor.
And how she was, you know, I don't want to say beat down, but just didn't have a voice.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it took a little bit to get it out. But, you know, she finally found her voice in being able to be independent and, you know, fostering the gifts that she has because she's extremely gifted.
Really?
And,
what are her gifts?
She's very intuitive.
All right, the word for the day. All right.
Yes, intuitive.
Was that her word for day two?
No.
Okay. No.
Wait, her word for the day is peace.
her word for the day is get back to work. Make them shoes.
No, you know, and that's a struggle with me is because I'm always like, you know, you need to get a job. And I find myself getting back into those old habits and not just trusting her and trusting her innate intelligence and that personal drive that she's going to want more.
Mm.
You know, now, I mean, we've set goals and stuff like that. And, you know, if she's missed a couple of them, I'm like, okay. So what you're doing is not working for you, and this is the end goal you want. So how do we get there? Teach me how to teach you so that I can help you succeed.
Hmm. Teach me how to
Instead
teach
of getting,
you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what are her plans? Is she in school now? Is she in high school or is she just working in the basement?
She's working in the basement.
Homeschooling or what? What's going on?
No, she's doing it at her own pace. She's studying for her GED.
Okay, GED, that's right.
Because, you know, when I graduated, it was very taboo to have a GED. Now it's normal.
There's so many things that are normal now that were taboo a while ago. I mean, so many things. Look at the hair industry.
so many things.
You used to be ashamed to have a wig or false hair. Now it's like you wear it with a badge of honor. Like, here's my receipt. This is my hair. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's taboo back in the day. So now, what did the Chris Rock say? It's called a good enough diploma. You tell me I can go to school for a few weeks and make up for all of high school, 4 or 5 years of high school. He was okay, yeah, right.
Man, I wish I would set that up.
Yeah. And
that's
I don't
good.
Know if you know this about me, Ken.
No.
So I technically did not graduate from high school in the political sense.
The political sense.
I had a really rough childhood, and at 17, I opted to leave, and I split.
Emancipation.
So there was a
emancipation. Emancipation. I mean, you know, they.
No, I didn't do emancipation. But what I ended up doing is I found a place that would give me a diploma from the high school that I went to. I just had to go through their curriculum. And it took me 6 weeks to finish half of my junior and senior year. And I didn't want this until like my class graduated. And I technically graduated with my class.
So you walked,
I just finished a year and a half early.
So
you, I did.
Wait, but back this up. You didn't do this and finish late. You did this and finished early. Is that what you're telling me?
I finished early. Yeah, because my home life was horrible.
She took a shortcut. He's like, y'all go that way. I'm going this way.
I wish I would have did that because I, you know, Ken, you heard of my horrific childhood. I wish I would have did that and emancipated myself.
This could be a movie for that show.
Get the heck out of Dodge.
For Tasha's story in childhood, that's going to be a movie. We're gonna put together probably a trilogy.
Oh, goodness.
That's another show.
Wow.
Have to come back and talk about
that. That's amazing. I like hearing stories like that because I'm like, man, if I had the mindset that I have now, if I would have had that back then, or if I would have had someone kind of point me in that direction or even tell me about it, you know, I probably would have went that route. It would have saved me a lot of heartache and pain.
Exactly.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
You said you did your whole junior and senior year in, what, four, 6 weeks?
6 weeks, and it was half of my junior and all of my senior year.
So multiple. Just do the math.
Wow.
I mean, you sit there and do all of high school and elementary school, but in maybe 2 or 3 months, you're done.
I know, right? Well, wow. And then the crazy thing is so I actually started college when I would have started my senior year. And
wow. I never heard anybody that actually worked out to the advantage of where you actually surpass your students, your class you was with. Normally, with GED means, okay, you done it after everybody graduated, whatever, you come back and get later.
That's the thing. Like, I've always thought, too, like you were saying that, you know, having a GED was kind of like taboo, but also it was kind of like,
it was taboo for me to literally quit school. And then I spent 6 weeks, and I got a diploma, but it was extremely like, oh, my God, you dropped out of school. And, I mean, now I tell everybody, oh, crap, I have a diploma.
I dropped out and got in ahead of the line. That's what I did.
No, because it was one of those things where you work at your own pace. And the thing is, I was internally driven. I was internally driven to get it done. I wanted more.
Get
and when
done.
You take those limits off, you just had to say that, right?
Yeah, I know. Get it done.
But when you take the limits off of the kids and actually let them do it at their own pace and what's right for them, you know, that changes the world. There's no more limits. There's no one saying controlling, like, from ego and judgment, like, that's not okay. You're not supposed to do that. You know, that's not how we do things or whatever the case may be.
Of course.
Spread your wings and fly.
Right. You're going to hear that. Spread your wings and fly. Wow, John, I did not know this. This is you got a movie for you, too. I mean, this is educational information that you need to document that or whatever. Tell exactly how you did this because I'm sure someone's listening, well, I can get out of school now in 6 weeks. I don't have to go through this year and a half of BS.
Mm-hmm.
I can be gone and start my career early. And that's the thing that I'm trying to talk about in this show is that you go through 4 years of college. And then so the person who went to work right after high school, they got 4 years of jump start on you and of actual on-hand training or experience or whatever. And sometimes experience is more than schooling to an employer, some employers, because a lot of times you could get a job, all right, what's your experience? Well, I don't have an experience. Well, you got to get a job, get an experience. It's like a catch-22. It's a cycle, a circle. You go back and around in a circle. So people ask the question, what's the cost of return? You know, if I got to spend 4 years and spend all this money into a college degree and get out, there's no guarantee that I'm going to get a job. And so the 4 years I wasted, it could have been 4 years of earning money. that I could have put into a house or whatever. And now I come out and I'm, you know, behind, 4 years behind everybody else. And the way working right now, the jobs aren't there. I know so many people who have English degrees or math degrees, and, you know, they're pharmaceutical reps. You go work for these jobs, they're going to train you the way they want you to work for them. So they could have done that to anybody. You don't have to have 4 years under your belt for them to be able to teach you to do business the way they do business.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, here's the crazy thing is – oh, go ahead.
No, no, I was saying, you know, it's a racket. But tell us about the crazy
thing.
Oh,
yeah. You know, with me, I went to college, but also went to work. And I'm a firm believer it is not what you know, it is who you know.
Yes.
And when you know
definitely.
It. It's who you know.
You know.
What you know and when you know it.
Oh, yeah. And I got really lucky. One of my first jobs right out of high school, I was 17 years old and kind of lucked out in the job. I started off as front desk, and I was always really good with people. Well, less than 5 months, I'm in sales and marketing. Within a year, I'm the director of sales and marketing running a $10.5 million hotel. I'm 18 years old running a hotel. And I'm
That's something. You need to go see the boss, my boss, and they go point to you. Like, who are you? Like, should you be in school?
I'm like, I am the boss. No, but again, you know, it's using the life experiences. And I think with education, with standard education, we don't give the kids life experiences and knowledge and the wisdom to make, you know, the investment in themselves.
Exactly. And there's a lot of circumstances that have to come into play for people to be successful. And you look at all of the successful people out there, like super successful, like Gates and Jobs and all them. There's a book called Outliers. And I suggest people, you know, find that book. It's by a gentleman named Malcolm Gladwell. And he writes this book, and he explains how people who are super successful, a lot of times are no more smarter than you are. It's just a matter of circumstances. Like with Gates, for instance, he happened to be the son of an attorney and an affluent family, and he lived in an affluent area and went to an affluent school and had affluent friends and parents of his students that were there. Their parents were affluent. And his school had a computer room. They got together, saved the money, and they got a computer room. Now, this is 1968. Not very many colleges had a computer room in 68. And so he was able to parlay a bunch of circumstances together, that series to put together that made his story possible. And because he was born in a certain time in time, like it's born like in the mid-50s, and that's where a lot of these computer giants were born in, like Jobs, all 1955, 56, that area. And if he had born a little bit later, like me, that time would have passed. If he was born a little bit earlier, like maybe his dad or older brother, whatever, it wasn't the right time. And so, and neither of them had college degrees. And they made it work pretty much because they had the ambition and they had the drive to do it. And so I suggest this book opens up a lot of questions and answers a lot of questions about people and circumstances. They even had a very interesting thing about hockey players. I know we're like way off tangent, but they had about hockey players and how all the great hockey players were like born in the first 3 months of the year. And I had to look at Wayne Gretzky. I'm like, yeah, he's born in January. And there's a reasoning behind that, because It has something to do with their age and the time the hockey season cutoff date was and how it put them ahead bigger and stronger than the people they were with, kids, in like maybe like 8 or 9 months. And in that age, you can be very overpowering over someone who's like 9 months younger than you or 7 months younger than you. And so that allows you to be good. And if you're good, you get the most attention. And it takes you to another level. You get even more attention. So it's like a series of events that happen one after another. And so you have to put yourself in these serious events to get, you know, to get started. But it's just like the luck of the draw almost. But that's why, you know, college I don't think is the answer for everybody, especially in this day and age. With I wanted to bring on a guy. He was supposed to call in, but he hasn't called in. And he works for a company or school, Dev Bootcamp. And what they do is, I'm just go ahead and give out information since I haven't heard from him. And what they do, they teach people to code, to do web coding, web programming. And that's very hot right now for companies like Facebook and Twitter and all these different companies that deal with web-based information. And their company will teach you. They say they can bring anybody in with no experience, and in 9 weeks, boot camp, you can get your job. Go out and get your job coding for maybe Apple or Google, whatever. And starting at like maybe $75,000, $80,000 a year. They cut to the chase. That there's no all that fluff. That it goes to show you can. They actually don't really. They train you how to be trainable. They train you how to learn. So when you go work for these companies, basically when you work for another company, all they want to do is teach you how they do business. They're going to train you. You're going to be in a maybe 8-9 week training course. And so basically what school does, the 4 years of school, I think what it does, it teaches you how to learn. But you don't need 4 years and 4 years of debt to do that, I don't think.
Yeah.
So this guy, he can bring anybody into their company. I think the tuition like $12,000. And for the 9 weeks or so, you're just grinding it, and you're grinding it. And so as opposed to spending $12,000 a semester and coming out hoping you can find a job, making $30,000, $40,000 a year, whatever, the cost of return is a lot greater because you're only spending $12,000 and you're hitting the road faster. So 9-10 weeks, you know, you're out on the job market and you're looking for a job. So the 3 or 4, 3.5 years or three years and what, maybe 8-9 months, you're working while your counterpart who got out of school with you at the same time is still in school and getting out, and now they got all this debt and they're trying to find a job. Now they may come work for your company, but you're already their boss. You may hire them. And so I wanted to get him on the show and for him to – we responded back and forth quite a bit on email. And I hadn't heard from him, so I don't know what's going on with him. But that's what I wanted to kind of like talk about the rest of the show. And I'm hoping we could have some callers to call in and talk about this. But I wanted to kind of like to gear the show in that direction as far as college. And I love your story about what you had to say, Jonna, about running a hotel at 18. That's a prime example. Because you could have gone to school for 4 years. So what it would put you, 21, 22?
Well, I did go to school for 4 years. And I paid off all my student loans.
Okay.
And
okay.
I don't use any of them in my business, in anything that I do.
You don't use any of that stuff you learned in the 4 years?
No. I had a teacher I got kicked out of 2 psychology classes. The 3rd one I finally got an A in, and I only went one day. So it started out as the psych teacher asked me, he goes, you know, what's the meaning of psychology? And I was like, you don't want to hear my answer. I'm here just to, because I have to have the class. They're like, no, it's a group discussion. You have to chime in. I said, I think psychology is a bunch of crap. It comes from root wounds and judgment of whoever the psychologist is.
Mm-hmm.
So she got really mad because she has a psychology degree. She told me to leave.
So then I had to go register in another class. And then it's like, you know how teachers talk? So they thought it would be fun to do it again. A lady asked me, and I was like, ma'am, with all due respect, I don't want to answer the question. My answer's not going to change. I know you know the answer. Just let me be. I just want to get the class done. She said, no, we're going to make you an example. What is your point of view about psychology? I tell her the same thing. And she's like, you know, that's really disrespectful. That's not acceptable in my class. You need to leave. So my counselor was like, hey, okay, look, this is where I'm at. My answer's not going to change because it's how I feel. I hate, you know, at the time, I was 18. Mm-hmm. I was like, I hate counselors. I think this is crap because they want to sit there and judge me, but they don't understand where I've been.
Right.
She's like, I'm a teacher for you. So I walk in. And it's Mr. Anderson. And so he asked me in front of the class, and I start laughing. I was like, all right, fine. I was like, I think it's a bunch of shit. At this point, you know, people are not willing to look at their own stuff before they make judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, perfect. You've got psychology. Go ahead and go. You've got an A. And I never went back. Meaning of the story is I don't use any of it. Like, it's all just who you know, what you know, and what you can tell them. I think college, never mind.
You're
exactly right. You're exactly right. It's it boils down. Now, when you do go to college, it's almost like maybe a networking arena, and college becomes like this. I don't know, this luxury. This what do you call it? Like designer word that you throw around. Okay, I went to Harvard. I went to Princeton or whatever, and it's thrown around where people just, you know, it costs so much more to go to these colleges, but do you give so much more? I think it's boiled down to your networking more so than anything else, because people in Princeton and Harvard, you know, their parents probably are CEOs of different companies or whatever. So it helps you that way. So if that's the case, just hang around on the campus. You know? don't pay them any money. I mean, if that's what it is. There's another guy I want to come on. I sent him an invitation. We didn't ever really talk back and forth, but this guy's named Dale Stevens, and he has a book. It's called Hacking Your Education, and I want to check that out. He talks about how this day and age is so much available to the people who kids would come out, because you can actually get so much information online, and you can learn so much stuff by just turning your computer. I mean, I know that for a fact, because even if you want to do something around the house or fix something, all you gotta do is go to YouTube. There's somebody showing you how to do everything on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
You need to fix anything, see what someone's done on YouTube. And I mean, everything you want to do, someone's already showing you on YouTube how to do step by step, a video presentation. So there's so much stuff available to you. Then you can also go into the service, I guess, you know, if you want to fight wars. Right, Tasha?
Say what?
I said you can always go into the service, you know, in case you want to, you know, fight wars, I guess. You can go into the service out of school.
Well, I had to get out of that current situation where I was at quick, fast, in a hurry, and I wasn't living. By that time, you know, my folks had already put me out, so it was kind of like do or die time.
Sing or swim.
Yeah, basically. So I was like, well, there's always the service.
There's always work in the Army. Yep. Like stripes. Did you get that walk straight? Hut, 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 one, two, hut, one, two.
Oh, the marching part's pretty easy. Actually, I enjoyed basic training. I don't know why, but I did.
For someone who doesn't like to take orders and someone who's a rebel, you like basic training.
I I liked it. See, there was the ED at the end. I liked it.
Liked it. Past tense.
Yeah. I mean, because, you know, I was coming from a strict family household, so I was used to people barking orders. So it was pretty simple to get through the basic training.
This sounds so familiar. I'm used to this. This makes me homesick. This feels like home.
Homesick wasn't the word.
Well, not homesick. Not homesick. It's like, oh, yeah, this makes me feel like home. They're making me feel at home here. Yeah, keep barking them orders.
No, I mean, like I told you, like I think I told you before how, like, for me, there was a lot of females there and, you know, in basic training right along with me that couldn't hack it, so to speak, because it was like their first time being away from home, where for me, I was away from home already before I got in. And my folks, you know, they were hands-on type parenting, and I don't mean it in a loving way.
Yeah.
I don't mean it in a lovingly way. So being in basic training and hearing the drill sergeants, you know, bark orders at you, but it's kind of like empty threats.
Right. Since they can't hit you. They can't touch you.
Exactly. And so that's what I thought was kind of funny, because they couldn't put their hands on me, but yet they were doing all this fussing. And it was kind of funny to me.
Were you laughing? Were you laughing at any point in front of the sergeants or whatever?
Yes. Just like how I am, like, it's so easy for me to laugh is exactly, I've been this way for a long time. So to hear the way the drill sergeants would talk to, you know, other recruits or make up silly nicknames for other recruits, it was very funny to me, and I was always having to get down and do push-ups.
I'm so used to this.
Let's just say I came out pretty strong out of basic training.
That reminds me of a commercial that played during one of the Super Bowls. And it was showing this referee and how, I guess he made a call, and one of the coaches was just in his ear. I mean, I mean, and the announcer was saying, God, he's just beating him like an army mule. What's wrong? Look at this. How does he take it? How does he know how to take all this stuff? How can you take all this abuse? And then switches to him in his house. He's sitting in his chair watching the game, and his wife is in his ear, just yelling at him. Just shouting at him. Showing how he learned how to take that abuse. It's like being at home. She was going at it, and so the announcers were wondering, how do you learn how to take this abuse? What do you get training for this? How do you do this? And it showed his wife was wearing him out. So you were like used to that.
Yeah.
I remember what's his name, Gary Owens, how he went to the Army. I think it was the Army, one of the armed forces, and how all the other people were like kind of like, oh, we're here in this little bitty tiny bed and this and that and this and that, and you know, he come from like a big family in a trailer park, and he didn't have his own bed. And so when he got to the Army and he had his own little bed, he was like, man, shoot, I'm in heaven right now. I don't know what y'all talking about. They're like, this little bitty bed, this and that. And this and was like, shoot, I got my own bed. This is a step up.
Actually, I think the best thing for me, like being in the military, is family. Like, you feel like you're a family.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're all going through the same things together, and so there's that togetherness, that sisterhood, that brotherhood, that togetherness, and that was something that I didn't really have in my own family. So in certain aspects, even today, sometimes I think
you know, like I miss the military, even though I'm not, I mean, because I miss that, you know, the togetherness, you know, when you meet
right.
people and
Hold on one second. I think Jonna has to run, so I want to, you know, let's say thank you to Jonna and you know, for coming to the show and being a part of the show today.
Oh, no worries. I'm glad I could give some input. So
I appreciate you.
I know I'll post some stuff on your Facebook about unschooling, some really
sure.
good links and a really good offer if people want to look into that avenue or even just get a general idea on really good parenting tips or anything like that. So,
do you want to give out any information on how people can get a hold of you for any other reason or whatever
for that
or for your holistic skills?
Thank you. Yeah, you know, my number is 214-317-5312. You can look me up on Facebook or my email. It's just Jonna Partain, and it's JohnnaPartain @gmail.com. And I'm always up for answering questions on anything I've talked about. If I don't know, 9 times out of 10, I can find out. So
you gave your home number out, so now you're going to might have calls because we get, like, thousands of downloads. So you may get calls from Australia at 2 in the morning. I don't know.
It wouldn't be the first time.
Okay.
No. But yeah, I really appreciate it. It's always fun to come on the show and put in input. I've always got something to say about something. So. And Tasha, it's always good to hear from you.
Oh, thank you. Last time you were on the show, I was very interested because, like, I kept hearing you talk about what you did. Or what you do, actually. And I was mm-hmm. like, man, I was really interested in it besides what the other guy was talking about. I was like, I'm interested in what she does.
Yeah, we'll have to chat. It came up to have a really interesting ending for me. So we'll have to catch up, but absolutely. But again, it's always a joy, but I've got to run. I've got to go spend time with my kiddo.
All righty.
We all have a wonderful night. Thank you so much.
You too.
Thank you. Thank you, Jonna.
Thank you.
Great. I'm going to play a – this goes back to the early part of the show. I'm going to play this thing about schooling. And it's not from a movie, but I got it. Part of the back part is from a movie, but this front part is about school education. So let me cue that in, and if I can find it. If I can find it. Here it goes right here. Hold on a second. Here you go.
You might want to ask yourself why the entire culture is utterly saturated with mass media entertainment from all sides. While the educational system in America continues its stupefying downward slide since the U.S. government decided to take over and subsidize the public school system.
What your government pays for, it gets. When we understand that, then we look at government-financed institutions of education and see the kind of students and the kind of education that's being turned out by these government-financed schools. Logic will tell you that if what is being turned out in those schools was not in accord with what the state and the federal government wanted, then it would change it. The bottom line is that the government is getting what they have ordered. They do not want your children to be educated. They do not want you to think too much. That is why our country and our world has become so proliferated with entertainments, mass media, television shows, amusement parks, drugs, alcohol, and every kind of entertainment to keep the human mind entertained so that you don't get in the way of important people by doing too much thinking. You had better wake up and understand that there are people who are guiding your life and you don't even know it.
We're in a lot of trouble! Because you people and 62 million other Americans are listening to me right now. Because less than 3% of you people read books. Because less than 15% of you read newspapers. Because the only truth you know is what you get over this tube. Right now, there is a whole, an entire generation that never knew anything that didn't come out of this tube. This tube is the gospel, the ultimate revelation. This tube can make or break presidents, popes, prime ministers. This tube is the most awesome goddamn force in the whole godless world. And woe is us if it ever falls in the hands of the wrong people. And when the largest company in the world controls the most awesome goddamn propaganda force in the whole godless world, who knows what shit will be peddled for truth on this network. So you listen to me. Listen to me. Television is not the truth. Television is a goddamn amusement park. Television is a circus, a carnival, a traveling troupe of acrobats, storytellers, dancers, singers, jugglers, sideshow freaks, lion tamers, and football players. We're in the boredom-killing business. But you people sit there day after day, night after night, all ages, colors, creeds. We're all you know. You're beginning to believe the illusions we're spinning here. You're beginning to think that the tube is reality and that your own lives are unreal. You do whatever the tube tells you. You dress like the tube. You eat like the tube. You raise your children like the tube. You even think like the tube. This is mass madness, you maniacs. In God's name, you people are the real thing. We are the illusion.
Yeah. That is so true. The first part and the back part, because the first part was about school kids and what the educational system is doing, and they're putting out what they want to get out of it, as far as you know, what they're teaching the kids. And the back part was about people watching television and pulling in this information from the television and thinking, okay, yeah, he says that, you know, your reality. The people in the TV, they're the ones that's fake. And sometimes people lose sight of that.
Yeah.
And they get caught up in watching reality shows and, you know, hey, you know, you're real.
Gosh. You know, I've been on Facebook. I'm not even going to lie. I've been on Facebook, and it angers me to the depths of my soul.
So you're pissed off to the highest of pistivity.
I mean, it does something to me, it does something to me when I see my news feed clogged up with a bunch of reality TV show commentary, for lack of a better word.
Real Housewives of Atlanta. Real Housewives.
Yes. Oh my gosh! And they're quoting the person verbatim, and then I'm looking on my newsfeed, and everybody's saying the same exact thing, and I'm like, oh my gosh, come on, people, this is...
Really?
Why?
I mean, for real, this is what you're talking about. This is what you're using the most amazing invention that since the invention of the wheel. This is what you're using it for, to talk about what you saw on this tube about what some people are scripted to do on this so-called reality show, and about all this controversy that they put into the script so you'll be hooked and you want to watch it. I was like, I can't.
Yeah, I don't like reality shows. I told Darren, me and Darren was having this conversation one day, and I told him, I said, isn't it ironic how everything on a reality show is not really reality?
Mm-mm.
And I told him, we think that what they're putting on these, you know, on the TV, these reality shows, is reality, but it's actually fake, and a lot of people think it's reality. And when you see something that's fake on TV, but it has like a hint of truth behind it, we think that it's not real.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times, you know, when you watch something on TV and it's like, maybe it's a cartoon,
The Roadrunner.
And they put things, like, I've seen stuff on TV where they put little hidden messages.
They do, don't they? I love The Simpsons.
And cartoons, and children cartoons at that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And we think, oh, you know, it's harmless. But when you sit back and think about it, you're like, wait a minute. Isn't this what this cartoon said? And, like, there's a bit of truth behind that. Then
yeah.
we watch reality shows and we think it's real TV.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, to me, I feel like everything in the world is backwards. So when I take that, like, they, you know, everything that's supposed to be good for you, they turned it into bad. And everything that's bad, they make it into good.
yeah, exactly.
And I take that with the world and the world around me. And I'm like, you know, a lot of this garbage that they're showing on TV is just what it is garbage.
Distraction.
Yes.
They could put better stuff on TV.
They just make people watch this stuff.
They won't. I mean, people are hooked. It's like the car crash. You know, you want to turn away, but you can't. And so people watch this stuff, and I just can't get into it. I mean, some reality shows I can kind of get into, like The Amazing Race. Now, I would love to do The Amazing Race. Up until maybe last season when I watched one of the episodes, I thought it was just about, you know, racing around the planet. I thought that was it. You know, go around the planet and you take clues, whatever. But I know you had to eat stuff, like Fear Factor.
Ew, see? You would have lost me. We would have lost if you was depending on me to eat stuff.
No, that would have been your job. Like,
we would have lost. I'm like, I would look at you and be like, Ken, the show is over.
The show is over.
I am not eating any Madagascar hissing cockroaches.
Exit stage left. Cameraman, watch our exit. Filmers will be walk away. They had two sisters on there, and they had either one had to eat a starfish, and they had to eat it all. Not just take a bite, a nibble. They had to eat the whole starfish, and they fried it. They fried like KFC or whatever. They fried it. It looked good on the outside.
They fried it like fish.
Yeah. It's all nice and crispy. It had a nice golden crust. But but you bite into it, it's still a starfish. And it looked pretty, you know, a nice little star, you know. They would look good, like, under a heat lamp. You know, hey, give me a couple of them starfishes. You know, they look good. But they had to eat a starfish. And I'm like, wait
so
a
how
minute.
Do we know, you know, how do we know that they were actually eating a starfish? Why? It could have been a piece of chicken in the shape of a star, for all we know.
Yeah. Good point. I thought about that, you know.
Could have been a breaded, like some form, you know, preformed chicken.
It could have been.
Breast patty.
It could have been.
Star.
It could have been. I've seen little nuggets like that. You know, they can make chicken nuggets type of, you know, hey.
Yes.
It was my show.
My Jada and Brianna, they had, like, you know, they love chicken. And so I have bought them some Tyson's dinosaur-shaped chicken. It's like in the shape of dinosaurs.
Wow.
So it could have been a starfish, but we wouldn't really know that.
You could have your own reality show, okay? You guys got to eat two dinosaurs before you move on to the next quest.
Two dinosaurs.
Mom, I don't eat no dinosaurs. Dinosaurs are nasty. It's not really dinosaurs. It's chicken nuggets. Dinosaurs taste like chicken. It's like, I didn't know that.
You know
starfish
what?
Starfish taste like chicken.
But not to get off the subject of The Amazing
we
Race.
We're off the subject of another subject. Off the subject.
That's happy sometimes. No, but I was thinking today, and this was actually today that I was thinking it. And you know how, like, every TV show is actually called a program, kind of like, you know, like you would program a computer. So they have this little lineup, and they have these shows on this lineup, and each show, you know, is a program.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about the, you know, one of my favorite shows, for instance. I like Good Times.
Whoa.
That's
the
old,
back.
The old.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went back because, like, a lot of shows
damn,
today don't
damn,
appeal to me.
Damn.
A lot of the shows that they have on today don't really appeal to me. I like to stick to what I knew.
You like them poverty
growing up.
Struggling type shows, huh?
So different strokes did do it for you.
I never really watched Different Strokes because I couldn't get into it. I didn't understand the show. At the time that I was watching it when I was a little kid, I didn't understand the show. Like, I didn't understand why there was two little black boys and a white family. I didn't understand it. So because I didn't understand
right.
it didn't appeal to me.
Right.
No. And I'm not trying to make it sound like a race issue, but kids
you
think about race
to...
more than you would know. Actually,
exactly.
Kids are very aware of their surroundings more than we think. As adults, that they know, okay.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so as a kid, I couldn't get into shows like, and there was another show. I didn't understand Webster because I was like, here's this little black little boy. Where's his mommy and where's his daddy? I don't understand this show.
Right, right. Next.
The
next
only person
show.
The only show I identify, the only person on the show I identify with is the person who looks like me. And so if anybody who doesn't look like me, then I can't understand. I don't understand it.
Exactly. That's a lot of things that people don't think about. People want to see people that look like them in shows, in dolls, games, movies, or whatever. But I think black people, more so than any other race, kind of like don't buy it, don't, I guess, subscribe to that so much. Because I guess we have a choice a lot of times. You know, a lot of the good programming is not about us. You know, I like Seinfeld, but also, like, you know, I love Sanford and Son.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, yeah. So you wasn't really into that, but you like Good Times. Did you? What did you like about Good Times?
I like the fact that it was an entire family. There was a mommy and a daddy and a sister and a brother. It was a family show. Like, nowadays, they don't have shows where there's an entire family. It's like a broken family.
Yeah. Even though they were struggling, they still stuck together.
Yeah. And
you
know. So, you know, me being younger and coming from a household where we kind of struggle, I was able to identify with that particular family, that particular program.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought about it today because I was like, man, you know, I liked a lot of the African-American shows back in the day, and I can still watch those shows, you know, because there's, like, TV One and the Centric Channel. They play those shows. And
right.
So I'm able to get my fix on, on, you know, my childhood shows like that. But I thought about it today. I was like, man, you know, even shows like that is still called a program. It's still a program. So what were they programming us as black people? What were they programming into us? To be happy in our current situations? To be okay
mm-hmm.
with it?
Mm-hmm.
Because, and, you know, even the beginning of the show where they're singing, you know, they're talking about all these problems and stuff, and then they're saying, you know, hey, good times.
I was like, hey, where are the good times you're talking about?
Like,
did y'all get the song title mixed up with the two shows?
I'm like, why is this Good Times? Why, you know,
they never had the good times. I mean, how many shows do you see on Good Times episodes where there's always bad news on the telephone? You know?
Oh yeah, they're always struggling, and then. You know, the show got really interesting when, you know, the father was taken out of the cast.
Yeah.
So I was like, man, that's kind of, you know,
now
did
he
it
left.
For me.
And no, he left because he thought the show was just getting too silly. And
he was
so much focused on JJ, and he just thought he left because of that. But did you know, you remember All in the Family, and the Lionel, the original Lionel that was in All in the Family, he was the one that actually was one of the producers of that show.
Really?
So that's why, yeah, because that's why when you talk about two Lionels all the time when you talk about the Jeffersons, because when they first moved away, the original Lionel went with them, and he was on, like, the first few episodes of the Jeffersons. Then he brought in this other guy to replace Lionel. Hmm. So the reason the first Lionel left, because he was working on Good Times.
Wow. So was he on All in the Family first?
Yes.
Before he worked on...
Yeah, he was on... That's how the Jeffersons got started. The Jeffersons was a spinoff of All in the Family.
Huh, I never knew that.
Really? Yeah,
no.
It was a spinoff.
How was I supposed to know this, Ken? How was I supposed to know this?
Wasn't the Jeffersons
like out in 1970 something, like 75 or something like that? I was born in 81.
But you were still watching. Good times.
I was still watching, but I didn't know anything about spinoffs and stuff like that.
Well, see,
I didn't know that was a spinoff.
I figured that you was watching Good Times in reruns.
Well, yeah, I was watching it in reruns.
Right, so I figured, I know All in the Family was also available in reruns. And so Maude...
I wasn't into All in the Family.
Great show. Great show.
That's so
groundbreaking show.
I didn't like the show. I didn't like... Archie Bunker's character at all. I didn't.
You weren't supposed to like him. You're supposed to kind of like love to hate him, so to speak. But he was a bigot, but it seemed like he always.
I think that's why I didn't like him. I didn't like him even as a kid.
But he didn't.
I used to think that he was so mean to his wife or something. I didn't think he was very nice to her, and I don't know. The show just didn't click for me.
But then again, I
was younger. I was very young, and TV pretty much raised me.
I know.
TV raised me, and so I always stuck with shows that were like I could see myself in almost. Like a child using their imagination.
Did you like Roots? Did you like Roots? Could you see yourself in there?
My mom didn't let me see Roots. That wasn't happening. I didn't see Roots until I was good and grown.
Could you see yourself in Roots? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I can see myself being in Roots, Mom. Yeah. I could be picking some cotton.
Oh, no. Bad. Horrible, Ken. Horrible. No, but I like, family shows. Like, I love 227. I like seeing the whole family unit.
Yeah. I love 227. And the Cosby Show.
Yeah, Cosby Show was a definite hit for me because I was like, ooh, I can see myself in Rudy, stuff like that.
Right. He's working on trying to come back to TV with another show.
Huh.
Yeah. Bill Cosby is in talks now about bringing another family show back to TV. Yeah.
He's going to be in it. Oh wow,
yeah.
He's a little up there.
I mean, he pretty much ran a gamut of Cosby type shows. I mean, his first show was the Bill Cosby Show, and then he had a show called Bill, then the Cosby Show. Maybe just call this one BC or something, or.
Now wasn't he on another show? I don't remember the name of it. Was it called Cosby?
Yeah. I think it was called Cosby.
And
the Bill Cosby Show. I got it on DVD. He was a PE teacher, Chet Kincaid.
And he had Felicia Rashard on there.
No, he didn't even know Felicia
Rashard. No, there was a show that he had on there.
Oh, that was after. That was after the Cosby Show, yeah. I
think
it was called
Cosby.
Yeah,
way after.
Yeah, it was called Cosby.
Yeah, that's the show.
And he wasn't as rich as he was in the Cosby Show in that picture, in that TV show.
The one thing I liked about the Cosby Show is not about the rainbow of children that I saw. I couldn't. Maybe I was a little bit too ahead of myself as a kid, but I looked at those kids and I was like, none of those kids look like they came from him.
And now,
except
somebody was stepping out. He's like,
yeah,
hey.
I was like,
Felicia, Claire, we need to go see Maury. That old child. Like, where did you get so much light skin from YouTube?
No, but it wasn't the fact that, you know, Cosby's had all these children. It was the fact that just for 30, well, not even 30 minutes, like 22 minutes.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
You got to take out the commercials. About at least 22 minutes of the show, you seen a black man and a black woman who was married, who worked as a team and had very lucrative jobs, careers at that.
Careers, yes.
And I loved seeing that because I didn't see that in my own world.
Right.
So
some people say that was unrealistic.
And that's so sad. That's so sad that people actually say that. But I loved seeing that. I was like, wow, there's no show on TV today that had a lawyer for a wife and a doctor for a husband, and they have all the time in the world to spend with their kids and fix their problems. And
they have so much time to have such demanding careers. I mean, a lawyer and a doctor. They had time to put on talent shows and cookouts and plays. I love that part I love that part when Theo, they tried to teach Theo a lesson about being grown and being on your own. And he had to leave.
The Monopoly money.
Yeah, and they took all his furniture out, had to sell him his furniture back, and he had to go in there and get a loan from Mr. Weewack.
I remember that episode.
Cockroach said, I love coming to your family. Y'all do so much interesting stuff.
But you know what? I mean, I think about how there's so many different TV shows on today and video games and sports with people working 40 plus hours a week. How do people have time for entertainment? But somehow people do have time for entertainment.
Yeah. And sometimes too much entertainment, to the point where it's just a major distraction. There's so much stuff out there, and people get so into the entertainment. Like, say, you just made an example of people getting into the reality shows. I mean, I like sports, you know, just like the next guy. But some people get so into it where, you know, they're willing to fight for it. I'm like, come on now, you're not getting one paycheck. You're not getting one paycheck from this organization. You know, talking about, oh, yeah, we're going to beat them. What do you mean we? I don't see you out there in the field. You know? We got this. We got that. Wait a minute. We? You know, when do you get a paycheck?
We did that. We made that. We did a touchdown. Look, I don't know the terminology for sports. I don't watch it. So excuse me if I sound a little elementary.
Yeah, fine. Just say touchdowns in the football arena. So, yeah, make it something about football. I'll say basketball.
But I think for women, because, you know, guys have their football, they have their sports that keeps them occupied as far as entertainment. Women, oh, my gosh.
Yes, scandal.
Scandal, Beyonce. Oh my goodness! You know what? If I hear another person, please don't get me started on the whole Beyonce worshiping, following thing. Every time, whenever you see me post something on my page, kid, about Beyonce, is because I've seen somebody post something ridiculous about Beyonce. That struck a nerve with me.
I've seen some of your responses, so I know what you're talking about.
You guys need
to befriend all of us. You need to befriend Tasha and myself on Facebook so you can see all of this that goes on.
I mean, oh my goodness, it doesn't make any sense for a grown woman to come out and be proud in saying that Beyonce is a role model for her, for herself.
You guys about the same age.
I'm like, what? Are you kidding me? Like, first of all, I don't follow any award shows. Well, first of all, I don't really watch a lot of TV anyway, but I think I had my fill as a child with TV, and TV is not as good as it used to be.
No, it's not.
The
quality
really
is not there.
It's not.
We only had three or four channels, and now we have 900,000 channels.
Well, we had three or four channels, not because everybody else did, because we couldn't afford cable. So three or four channels was the standard in my household.
Can you remember? If you ask the people in your family, I remember, you know, we had people where it was black and white TV. And I know I'm dating myself, but I was like, and you have two TVs, one for the sound, one for the picture.
Oh, my. Oh, is that why you see a lot of, way back in the day, people had two TVs stacked on top of each other?
Exactly. One was for the sound and one was for the picture because, you know, one was not making any sound and the other one had pictures. So, hey, put two together.
I remember going to my grandma's house in Pittsburgh and she had the floor model.
Yeah.
TV,
right?
Boxed in the wooden case.
Exactly.
But then she had a more modernized TV on top of that. And I was like, man, why don't Grandma just get a TV stand? Why is she using this TV at the bottom?
The old TV is the TV stand.
I never understood that, but I saw a lot of that. I didn't know what that was all about. I was like, I guess nobody likes to throw away electronics.
Yeah, just stacking them. Hey, stacking the TVs. Double the pleasure. It's like stereo, visual stereo. the golden age of TV. That was the day,
yeah.
And I can remember my mom telling me about, you know, how they were one of the first to have TV on the block, and and people would come and watch TV. It was a big thing, you know. If you had one TV in your house, nowadays people might have six TVs in a house.
In every room. People
every
got TVs
room.
In their kitchen, their living room, their bedrooms. Some people got them in their bathrooms.
That's right. The idiot box. Because ain't nothing on there anymore, you know, pretty much, than just distraction.
Yeah.
You know?
And then distraction, buffoonery, all types of craziness. It's just,
I don't know.
I don't follow the award shows like the Grammys and the Emmys
either.
And all, you know, all of that.
They were
craziness.
Talking about that. I wasn't paying attention to it. I mean, I knew it was on, but I just couldn't bring myself to turn the TV on.
I just couldn't bring my arm to pick that remote up.
I couldn't do it. I mean, heard them talking about, and I know it makes for good fodder in conversation, but I don't know. I was lazy. I guess I didn't want to do it. I didn't feel like doing it.
He's like, you know, I just can't do this. I thought I could do it, but I really can't.
you know, all these.
But I didn't know the Grammys were on, and so of course, my good friend on Facebook allowed me the pleasure of letting me know the play-by-play.
Play-by-play, yeah.
On my news feed. I was like, oh, the Grammys. Okay, what's so special about those? I don't know. And Grammys don't do anything for my household, so okay.
No, you're not getting a Grammy check. You don't get 1 cent to your house. It's a big show where they glorify a list. When you just see the, show me the list after it's all over, okay? Who won, you know, best song? Who won whatever? I don't need all the stuff in front of it. I know it could be entertaining, but, you know, it's, I don't know, at that point in time, I think I felt like doing something else. I don't know what it was. Maybe. I don't know what it was. I felt like doing something else. I don't really, like, I'm like you. I don't like really, in fact, TV as a whole, I find myself not watching it as much.
Yeah.
At one point in time, I could tell you what time it was by what show was on, but that was like a long time ago. Now, I watch my iPad, stuff on my iPad. I like to watch stuff at my own convenience when I want to watch it, not because it's on at this point in time. You know, right now, like I was watching Breaking Bad on my iPad. And when it came out, I started watching until the whole series was over. But it's an awesome show. And I know there's people out there listening who can amen on this. I love Breaking Bad. I watched the whole 5 seasons, like in maybe a month or less. Sometimes 3, 4, 5 shows at a time. I did the same thing for 24. I mean, 24 is an awesome show. Awesome concept.
Oh, yeah, I remember you know what? I forgot that you told me to watch that.
Yeah, that's on your plate. You need to watch that. That's your
right now. I'm watching
assignment.
Right, you know what? Because I love Netflix. I love Netflix.
Awesome.
I can watch shows whenever it's convenient for me versus having to wait till the next week or wait till a certain time for it to come on. That's not beneficial for me.
Right.
So,
Do your own program.
Yeah.
You watch
so I've been watching The Walking Dead from season 1 on up, and I have to say that I really, really enjoy it so far. I didn't think
That's
I was.
That's big now. Zombies, for some reason, are huge.
Because everybody are zombies.
I guess so.
That's so
point there.
Huge. Because at first, you know what, the end thing used to be aliens, and now it's zombies.
I saw a lot of zombie movies, Dawn of the Living Dead, you know, back in the day, and all these Living Dead movies, and I'm like, I guess I need to watch. I think zombies are hipper now or something, so maybe that's what it is. Maybe the zombies are cooler now. I think I heard zombies are doing a lot of stuff now. They're not...
they can swim, jump, do cartwheels, run, you know.
Yeah, I guess that's the draw.
They're breaking all the codes, too.
Yeah, and the vampire movies, the same thing. I mean, that's been pretty big, vampire movies. And how vampires have driver's license. I'm like, how do you get a driver's license as a vampire?
And they go to school and have romances and everything.
But think about it. If you're a vampire, you want to take your driver's test, don't you have to take it? The DMV closes at like 5 o'clock. So how can you be out in the daylight taking a test if you're a vampire? How does that work? You know?
But you know what? What was that guy? Is his name Robert Patterson?
I don't know.
Robert Patterson, the one who's in all the I can't even think of the name. All the little vampire movies, the little teen, the tween that love these movies.
Tweens, teens.
Rapid
what is Patterson? It? Had the Breaking Dawn and all of them, the trilogy or whatever it is.
Okay.
I can't think of their name. You know what I'm talking about?
No, not at all.
You know? You don't? Thanks, kid. You're leaving me. I'm hanging myself here.
Yeah, you are.
The Breaking Dawn and all of them. I can't think of the name. See, now you're having me pull.
Is that you got? Hey, you have finger at your fingertips. You have your iPod, iPad.
But this wasn't even helping me.
I'm looking at Robert Patterson. All I can find is Robert Patterson was born in 1792 and died in 1881. So it must not be the same person.
Oh my goodness!
It must not be the same person.
Okay, Robert Paddington.
Yeah, I saw Robert Paddington. I saw that came up at first, and
okay.
Robert Paddington. I'm sure people are listening. Like
Twilight. There we go.
Twilight. See, people could have called in, and they could have won some money with that answer, but no one called in. be the 10th caller.
Yeah, there you go. Twilight. Did you know that he is he's related to the real Dracula?
Really? There was a real Dracula?
Yeah, I think his name was Vlad the Impaler.
The Impaler.
Impaler.
Yeah.
Impaler. Impaler. You know, it's late. My mouth is getting lazy.
Dovin Impala.
The Impaler. Yes.
The Impaler.
He is actually related.
Really?
Yes. There was an actual article. I think Emmett...
So Robert Pattinson is related to the real original Dracula.
Yes.
Huh. Let me look that up. I don't believe that.
See how black people do?
I know.
You see how we do each other?
I know.
We don't trust each other enough. We're like, you don't know what you're talking about.
I know what you're talking about. I got to hear from the white man.
Oh no!
Sorry.
I
lost a bunch of listeners.
I can just hear the numbers, downloads just spinning down.
Spinning down, yeah, I know. I see Twilight. Robert Pattinson related to the Vlad the Impaler. Okay. Wow. Of course, you got to be a distant relative. I bet, but
of course.
Like son. That is fun.
He's my great granddad. No.
God, I'm looking at him. He looks like him.
Yeah. Right? Wow. But the way his face is kind of shaped, almost kind of not like asymmetrical type.
And he plays a vampire on the show.
Yeah, and you think that was by accident? No. They did that on purpose.
Wow. Vlad the Impaler would be proud.
Of course. This is why so many girls and you know, boys who like stuff like that are so addicted to this. Like, how do we not know that they don't put, you know, some of these people? Because we really don't know who's related to who in the industry.
I'm telling you,
there's a lot of people related to people that's in history that we don't know nothing about.
I mean, you could be related to someone in history you don't know nothing about. You
know? I
know,
but we wouldn't know that because they don't teach us our history, and that's a whole other story. Actually, that is talking about education. Hmm.
Yeah, back to education. Wow, it took us like, 40 minutes to bring it back?
6 degrees of separation.
Right. People who turned in. I thought this show was about education. I don't hear any education talk. Oh, there it is at the end of the show. The last 6 minutes of the show, they brought it back.
Yeah. But you know what? Back to that, though. Our history. Because we are coming up on Black History Month.
You know, one of our friends just had White History Week on his show.
that. Oh, my gosh.
Funny to the
and
moon.
And when I saw that, I laughed out loud, like, literally. It wasn't like an LOL, but it was like I literally laughed out loud because I was like, oh, my gosh, this is the last week of January before Black History Month.
White History Week. Oh, don't want to miss that. it'll start back up after February.
well, my thing is, this is like, because I thought to myself that I really need to start getting, you know, books and stuff to start teaching my kids Black history. And I'm not talking about the fluff that they teach our kids in school today. Because, as you know, they're starting to change a lot of history in the books, and now slavery is going to be called, what was slavery going to be called, labeled as now?
Great apprenticeship.
That is insane. That is insane. I dare not teach my kids anything so silly.
Yes. I'm about to go buy me some apprentices. Come on, let's go to the market, and they're going to auction them off.
That's crazy. But I really seriously thought about teaching, buying some books and stuff on Black history and teaching my kids Black history in addition to their regular, of course, state-mandated curriculum.
Yeah. And see, that's
because
where
they're not going to learn anything. They're not going to learn anything about themselves.
You need that. You need to know that people that look like you make contributions. You need to know that.
Yeah.
That's just need to be part of you. You need to know that you're beyond just slaves or quote unquote apprentices. You need to know that you're beyond that and that you come from better stock. And everybody, I mean, whether you're white or Hispanic or Native American or whatever, you need to know that.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to say something that's not going to some people might not receive it well, but I'm just going to let you know that by far I'm far from a racist or anything like that, but.
Let it rip.
I, just like in the world that we live in today, everything from TV to what we read in the history books, to the teachers we see at school, to police officers and businesses and everything, our world around us is just covered in white. My kids see white, and that's not teaching them that they are important in any way, shape, or form at all.
Right.
Like, I was saying about the TV, you know, when I was a little kid, I was drawn to things that looked like me. And kids are drawn to things that look like them. But if they can't see themselves in the world, how can we expect them to succeed?
Where do you fit in?
Daughter saw a Black woman police officer, and she says, Mommy, I want to be a police woman when I grow up.
Not the one in handcuffs. You know why did we have to see?
Yeah, not the person on the other end. Or Mommy, I want to be a Black art teacher. Or Mommy, I want to be a business owner or something like that. We don't see enough of ourselves in our community, and our children are feeling like they have no future. All the way down to the education that they're learning, the history. We don't teach enough about ourselves in history. All we know is that we were slaves.
This is the Forbidden Fruit Radio Show podcast, and all those who are listening, streaming, You have 10 seconds, and we're going to shut down and just go to podcasts. The Forbidden Fruit Radio Show podcast. We're out. Okay, go ahead. I had to throw that in there.
Overdone like that, huh?
Yeah.
No, but I was saying that, you know, our kids don't see enough of themselves in the community. And it's really sad and unfortunate because a lot of Caucasian individuals don't see it. And when we say something about it, we're labeled racist. When we point out the obvious. And some of us, some of our brothers and sisters, are afraid to say it.
Yeah, exactly.
Afraid to say it. And I'm like, well, why are you afraid to say it? You should be proud to want to see a black doctor or a black lawyer or a black teacher or a black police officer. Black. I mean, you know, we see enough black people going to jail.
Exactly.
We see enough black people in the prison system.
I know.
And nobody's afraid to point that out.
I know. Because they think that
they're talking about that all day long.
Yeah, it's the diet that we receive. It's the pieces. It's the programming that's out there. It's not so much the, I guess, the Caucasian or the racists watching it. It's just that they're so inundated with these images they see on TV, and they just consider that to be the norm. And it's not really the viewer's fault. It's more so the programming of the producers who are putting the program together. And, I mean, we've gotten a lot better. I mean, if you go back to the 60s, I mean, you didn't see anything as far as yourself on TV unless you was a butler or maid or whatever. But,
and now that's starting to come back around with these movies, as you can clearly see.
Yeah, exactly.
Didn't one of those movies, 12 Years a Slave, or one of them movies, one of them slave indentured servant movies received an award, and everybody was hooting and hollering about it. And I'm like, why are you so happy about that? You mean to tell me that we have to put out movies that shows us being, what's the word? I can't think of a word.
Less than second class or subservient.
There we go. Being subservient, we got to put out movies like that to get awards.
Or either on the other side of the coin, you know, being gangster or being whatever. For my example is Halle Berry and Denzel Washington. They both had such great work before they got their Oscars. You know, Denzel with Malcolm X. You know, he should have gotten it on that. And then you have Halle Berry. Did she do? Was it Dorothy Dandridge or somebody? She did somebody before she actually got the award. And they had such great body of work before that. But then when they get to the point where they're doing Monsters Ball and Training Day. Boom, they get the nod. Okay, hey, ding, 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 ding. You finally got it right.
Yeah.
You know.
Like that's the recipe for success that we like to see.
Yeah.
Like, really?
Yeah. Yeah, two kind of negative characters, which I understand, you know, you're playing stuff because it's your craft and you're making it believable. So, yeah, you do, you know, get a nod. But that's if you've already got nods on positive stuff. Because,
yeah.
I mean, there have been, like, you know, white actors and other race of actors who've gotten Oscars on negative characters. But you go back before that, they've got a lot of awards on positive stuff. So it kind of blends in. But if the only thing you're getting is negative stuff, and that's the first thing you've gotten or whatever, you had so much good body work beforehand, it kind of makes that stand out. And so...
Yeah.
And a lot of people will talk about Halle for even taking that role. That role was originally offered to the lady that did Tina Turner. What is her name? I can't think of her name right now. I would have said it. I had to say Tina Turner. I would have thought of her name. Is Angela Bassett?
Yeah, Angela Bassett.
Yeah, that role was initially offered to her. The Monsters Ball role that Hallie took, that was offered to her. She turned down. She said, "I can't do this crap." You know,
she's like, "You expect me to do what and why?"
right.
And with who?
And you know, yeah, it was beneath her. She said, "I'm not going to do that." And so I don't know what the dynamics in Hollywood is as far as how it may be just as political as anything else, as far as the choices. How they choose people, and you know, are you blacklisted, or do we like you, or whatever? We'll give you the nod, mm-hmm. and give you the Oscar, or you paid your dues, or whatever. I don't know how that works. It's so subjective to someone's opinion, and that's one reason that I'm kind of walking away from professional sports, especially team sports, because it's so subjective based on another person's opinion on the outcome of the game. And
yeah.
as much like for instance, this past game, the playoffs for the West, and where it was San Francisco and Seattle. As much as I hate San Francisco, the 49ers, well, not the city, but as much as I hate the 49ers, and that's pretty purely based on a friend of mine who's from there, who brags about them all the time and throws them in my face, so I begin to start hating the 49ers. So as much as I hate them, they had a call against them that was totally bogus. And I think it changed the outcome of the game. And it was clearly a fumble, and their man had recovered the fumble. They gave the ball to Seattle. So Seattle goes on to win the game. And so now they're in the Super Bowl. So they take that loss based on someone's opinion, a third person's opinion. And so just like the Olympic sports where they hold up numbers, you know, okay, we're going to give you a 9, we give you an 8. It's based on someone's opinion. If it was so cut and dry by the book, how come all don't have the same numbers? You know, some have an 8, some have a 6. It's opinion. And it's people lose by points based on someone's opinion. And so I don't really... You know, all that, the people, you know, when you're an actor and they vote on your stuff, it's based on someone, the body of people who are there, and it's their opinion, whether you should be there, and once you're there, whether you should win. Everybody has, like the assholes, everybody has one. So everybody has an opinion. Yeah. So, and I think, in my opinion, Denzel should have won by before that point. You know, if he had have won before that point, or if Hallie had won before that point, or a bunch of other black people had won before that point, then those two movies wouldn't have stuck out as much that they were degrading. You know, if Denzel had already won for X, Malcolm X, and maybe for another movie he had done, then by the time he wins that one, okay, yeah, you know, I can see his range. You know, and same for Hallie. But for that to be the first, you know, to put it in context, no black man or woman, for that matter, had won a lead role for the Oscars. You had to go back to Gone with the Wind to find a black woman winning supporting actress. All the way back to Gone with the Wind. And then as far as leading actors, you have to go back to, I think, maybe Sidney Poitier to go find another black actor who won Best Actors Award. And all these movies are black and white. So to go back to black and white to find the closest winner, come on, you know. But I like golf. Golf is a cut and dry sport. There's no opinion.
But it's so boring. The commentator's voice puts me to sleep.
That's your opinion.
Oh. Oh my goodness! I think that's an opinion of many, especially like I have to say like. Golf and baseball is like one of the two boring. I mean, like all sports is boring to me, but that has to be that tops.
You have to get out there. See, that's your opinion. Because golf is exciting. I mean, I admit that the announcer is not as exciting as listening to someone who's playing soccer or whatever. You know, we're at the back nine, and we have to, Tiger Woods is getting ready to make the putt. And he's whispering, although Tiger can't hear him.
It's like
he's doing the announcing right there on the green with Tiger. And Tiger, make his putt. Oh, Tiger's getting ready to putt. And I'm trying to be quiet because I don't want to disturb Tiger in his putt. You're like several yards away, probably on another fairway, and you're still whispering. You know, you're probably at the studio.
That makes me sleepy when they talk like that. It does. It makes me so tired.
But I think like any sport, it's more exciting to actually be there. Even baseball or hockey or soccer, as boring as they are to me, if you're there, it takes on a different atmosphere. And like with baseball, now people with baseball, it's boring to me because the ending score might be 1-0. You mean to tell me I sat here the whole game and only one team scored a point? They call it a run. And I listened to some people say, well, it was a pitcher's duel. I said, no. What's the difference between a pitcher's duel and two guys playing catch? You know? If no one can hit the ball, then it looks like two guys playing catch to me. And how long can you watch that? But golf, you need to go out and play golf. I think that one thing is once you understand something, it becomes more dear to you. If you don't understand it, just like we go back to the point where, like I said, white people don't understand about black people not seeing stuff that they see in them, they see themselves in. Now, if you don't understand that, then it doesn't become dear to you. It doesn't become important to you. You know, if you're a white person who grew up like in a black neighborhood or have black friends or whatever, it's more dearer to you than someone who's only seeing black people on TV, or let's say Hispanic people, or either a black person who's only seeing white people on TV. Until you're closer to that culture, you can't really understand. It doesn't really, you know, it's not important to you. So, like football, when the Super Bowl happens next, this coming Sunday, did you know that?
Oh, Sunday?
Yeah, did you know that? Yeah, this Sunday, yeah.
I know that now. I know now.
And the funny thing about Super Bowl is people don't, you know, care about the game so much who flock to the game. I mean, a lot of people do. But some people just enjoy the atmosphere of a Super Bowl party. The food, the atmosphere. I mean, they love that.
Friends and talking junk to one another.
Right. The commercials. The halftime entertainment.
I've never seen people get excited over commercials before. That is a trip.
I love
the Super Bowl commercials.
I love the commercials. That's like the main draw. That's like almost as big as the game is the commercials. People come back. They might not remember the plays, but you see that commercial? You know, Pepsi had a commercial. Pepsi, oh, man, that was so funny. You know, and then the commercial with the little baby talking who's like the stock exchange little kid. What does he sell? I forget now. But sometimes these commercials are so good that you forget what they're selling.
Oh, you're talking about the E-Trade baby?
E-Trade baby. Yes, exactly.
Oh.
And sometimes they're so good and so funny, you forget what they're selling. I know it's got to go against what the advertiser had in mind. You're like, God, that was so funny. What were they selling? And the main thing you do a commercial is so people know what you're selling.
Yeah.
But they're so funny. There's an old commercial back in the day. Look it up on YouTube. And people that are listening, it's Terry Tate, the Office linebacker. That is hilarious. You need to pull it up. Have you seen it, Terry Tate, the Office linebacker?
No. I have no idea.
Pull that up. what it is was this company hires this linebacker. You know, a linebacker is a person who, like, tackles and protects the runner and stuff. He tackles people. Mm-hmm. And so they hired him to, I guess, to bring up productivity in the workplace. And so his job is when people are doing stuff they're not supposed to be doing, he tackles them. And out of nowhere, this one guy, he walks into the break room, and he you know, in the break room we have coffee machine. He takes the last amount of coffee and pours it in his cup, and now the coffee pot is empty. And so he just puts it back. But the rule is, if you get the last amount of coffee, then you're supposed to make a new pot. He just gets his coffee and leaves. And there he takes him out of nowhere and tackles him. And there's one that's, like, awesome. It's what's the lady that ran for president out of Canada? What's her name?
Man, I'm really terrible with names today. I know you're talking about Sarah Palin.
Yes, Sarah Palin. All right, she's talking to Katie Couric, and you know she's rambling on about what magazine does she watch, what magazine does she read, and oh yeah, any of them, all of them. I watch all of them. You know, it's not like people think Alaska is this faraway place, whatever. She's going rambling on. And Harry takes come out of nowhere and tackles her. But of course, it's very creative editing, where he's not tackling her, but they put in like a body double and kind of switch the video to where he's tackling someone like her, and like he starts tackling her. I got your drill, baby, drill. While she's on the ground hurting, and he just tackles her. It's hilarious. You have to see it. It's called the Terry Tate, the Office Linebacker. You can actually go on YouTube, and you can see it on YouTube. It is hilarious. It's several series of these commercials, and it's so funny. And I still forget what they're selling. Like, what are they? I don't know. But like commercials are like the highlight of the Super Bowl. And if you ever heard of the Clio Awards?
No. Well, you know what? It sounds familiar, but I don't want to say yes or no to that.
It kind of goes into what I'm saying. It is the awards for commercials.
Oh, I didn't know they had awards.
Yeah, for commercials. And they give out awards for commercials, best commercials for the year. And they even show some foreign commercials and domestic commercials. And some of these things are just so funny. I'm like, wow. So, yeah. So watch the Super Bowl this Sunday. And, you know, come back and report to me. And, you got to watch. You know what I'm watching now? I finished Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad is an awesome show. I think like the best show ever made. And that's good saying after 24. I thought 24 was like the best show. I love the format of 24. I mean, what show does a show in real time? In real time. That's what 24 is. They have 24 episodes, in the course of a year. In the course of a season. 24 episodes in one season. So basically what they're saying is that the whole season happens in one day. After watching all the whole season.
I remember you saying that. I was like, huh.
In one, what other show can do that? And I mean, when they go off of commercials, it takes in account the commercial time when it comes back. So. doing that commercial time, but when they come back, 5 minutes or whatever has passed. But I got into Breaking Bad, and Breaking Bad, I highly recommend Breaking Bad.
I've been watching it. I haven't watched it in a while, but because I kind of put it down a little bit. But
I love that show. Awesome. But now I'm into The Wire. I'm watching The Wire. And I don't really feel as gripped as I did when I watched Breaking Bad, but it's a different, you know, it's more real than Breaking Bad. It's the real streets of Baltimore. And I guess because it's on HBO, they show stuff on that show. Oh, I just got to watch an episode in the fourth season, and I'm able to see it on radio. But the driver, one of the guys, he's also a police officer. He's a detective, and his job was to drive the mayor around. So he was going to, I guess, the Capitol to look for the mayor or somewhere, one of these official buildings. And he was, like, going from door to door, and he walked in on the mayor, and he was in a compromising position. And just to give you a visual without actually seeing what's going on, I guess his aide or one of the assistants was on her knees. And
ooh.
Yeah. And HBO shows you enough to know what's going on. It's, I mean, this is a real show. It's about drugs, street drugs. And they don't play on this show. And I'm in the beginning of the fourth season, so there's one more season after this. But I think that's the best way to watch shows now. Wait till they go off, and then catch them on Netflix or HBO Go or Hulu or whatever. And you don't have to watch commercials. You can just watch it straight through. You're talking about an hour show or half an hour show. Watching on TV takes 30 minutes. Watching on Netflix or whatever. They do have little stuff in between, but HBO Go don't have anything in between. So it's like pretty much raw. You watch it straight, real time. And, you know, for 22 minutes, you might watch a half-hour show. But, yeah, I'm watching The Wire, and I'm in the fourth season. A friend of mine who suggested Breaking Bad, which before he mentioned it, I didn't know what Breaking Bad was. I thought it might have been a banned reality show or something. You know, I never heard of it, but it's a great show. The Wire is good, but you need to watch 24. In fact, 24 is getting ready to come back on the network. It's getting ready to come back on air. It went off. It got canceled. But now, reading on the internet, Jack Bauer is coming back. I think in March, I think they're going to start airing new episodes of 24. Yay!
Look at you.
Yay! So... That's my, I don't know what I'm going to watch after that, but I can watch it when I want to. I can watch it back to back. I can watch one at a time. I love the beauty of this and technology. I mean, it feels great to be around in this day and age. I'm sure everybody said that, but no matter how far you go back, oh, man, this is the time to be living. Yeah, we got the wheel. Man, before this, they didn't have the wheel. We got the wheel. You know, and... You know, we feel like we got it made. We got iPhones, we got iPads. We can talk on from country to country just with our phones. We can do video chat. I mean, go another 1,000 years. They'd be looking down on what we're doing now. like we were like rubbing some sticks together. iPhone? Who knows what they'd be doing in 1,000 years from now? God, I can't even think about it. What could they do? I guess it'd be like, you know, you wouldn't have to get on a plane. You just like, just think, touch your watch, and you're somewhere else. I'm going to Paris. Okay, I'm there. I don't know. I mean, what could happen? I mean, you see so much progress from, you know, from 1960 or whatever. Let's say 1960 when stuff was in black and white TV. And if you had a phone, it was hardwired to your wall. And you couldn't, there were no apps on that phone. You couldn't listen to anything, you know. And now we got computers in our pocket, which back in the 60s was probably filled up a whole floor. The same computing power that we have in our pockets on the iPhone probably filled a whole floor of computers. And now it's in your pocket. Wow. You know, that was your kids. I know when you got on the show, you said they were eating. It seems like they've been pretty quiet The whole show.
See, when they start talking, when they come in the room, because Brianna, she's been in the room at least 4 times since we've been on the show.
Okay.
Every time she comes in the room, and she looks like she's about to open up her mouth, and words are about to come out, I put the phone on mute.
Okay. I know one time I did mention something. I said something to you, and it took you a bit to respond. I think it was when... What's going on? Something's going on. And I said, Tasha, what do you think about that? And it took you a little second to come in. So I kind of figured.
Okay. Yeah, so I put the phone on mute, and then, you know how, like, you know, with the iPhone, once you put it on mute, the screen might go black. And so I have to unlock my phone to.
Yeah, put a little code in.
Yeah.
Got to go through all the red tape. All the red tape to get back in.
So I probably heard you talking, and I'm scrambling and shooing children away.
Yeah, what's my PIN number? Okay, if I make a mistake, I can do it all over again. Oh, boy. Let's see. I'm getting all these bloops on Facebook. Let's see. All right. Travis shared a link. White History Week Day 2 from my show, White History Day 2. I wonder if this show, we got to call this show. I know we're like, let me see, what's this show number? We want to call in and surprise them as we go off the air.
Okay. Well, they got 14% battery life. I need a new phone.
You're doing fine. I mean, my phone is at, I don't know, let me see. It's not red yet, because sometimes my phone will tell me at some point in time, okay, you got so much percent. Sometimes I got to go by an icon. I got to look at the icon. But you know that stuff drags your phone down, like Bluetooth, and if you have all those apps running at the same time, so I go and I close a lot of apps on my phone. And
I don't even play on my phone anymore. My phone's like... seen better days. I play on my iPad all the time.
Okay.
Let's see. I need to turn the heat down. I'm roasting.
Well, you're in control of that.
I'm doing in my own juices over here. It's so hot. Oh, my gosh. Maybe I need to take my sweats off or something.
Let's call in on White History Week. We do a simulcast just for a little bit. And then, because we do have 30 minutes, but... I'm just going to go in. We've never done this before, and I think we had the original idea, but we didn't go through with it. One of our second shows, and we were going to do it. And I think it was the episode we did with Robert Greene Ingersoll, our first episode. We was going to call into Funny to the Moon, and we didn't do it. So I'm going to write this number down and see. I'm going to go ahead and call in the show because I think they're doing it right now. Yeah, 8-9-1-3. I had to go to that page and I had to go back to the studio and put the number in. So, you know what? Cancel that. I can't call. we could have done that. We could have done that before we went into overtime. I can't call now. That deal is out. Oh, well. And they can't call me either. I was trying to figure out, wait, could I call on my cell phone? But I'm not on my cell phone. And and even though we are on Skype, let's see here. I don't think it can be done. So let's just do this. I may call into the show briefly. The only thing about it, when you call in the Tavis show, I'm saying Tavis, not Tavis, Travis's show. Tavis Smiley. When you call to their show, sometimes you can't, you know, it's so many people I can't really talk. I'm just listening most of the time, and I try to get something in. And Tana, I'm sure I can imagine what they're talking about, Black History Week Day 2.
Oh, boy.
I tell you what, we're going to end the show here, but I'm going to go over the show, and I may just three-way you in, whatever. We just call in for a second, say hi, and then shut it down.
I got to get these kids to say it.
I know.
They're looking at me like, Mommy, what's going on?
I bet. Now, you guys don't have any snow there, so it's school tomorrow, I imagine.
Yeah. Okay. My car was in a deep freeze.
Well, you can imagine.
Had to go out there and chisel it.
I'm going to have to do the same thing tomorrow if I choose to leave out. I'm going to have to do that. So.
Well, you need to make sure you're careful if you do.
Could be careful, huh?
Yeah.
I know. It was coming down. It's a little flexed
at times. They see me walking around and they're all coming out there hiding places.
I hear you. All right. Let me go ahead and we get out of here. This is the Forbidden Fruit Radio Show podcast. Please listen to us. Thank you, Tasha. We had a great time and we're
Thank
on
you,
our kid. Way out. Please listen to us.
Bye.
Love you guys. Bye.